when Jesus received the full measure of the Holy Spirit. From what I understand, he believed he had it from birth, but then it was just made manifest, it was made known or shown then as he grew through the human evidence.
Well, I had a reason for asking that I'll not reveal. But now, it's important that we remember that Jesus never gave up his divinity. He never gave it up. Now, I'm sure everyone knows this, there's one deity, one God, but there's three divine beings that make up deity, and that's God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And of course, he used this Trinity, but that's not a biblical term, and it usually has unscriptural connotations, but it's okay as long as we understand what's being said. But if Jesus, when he came to the world and also became a man, didn't give up his divinity, what did he give up? Well, he gave up his glorious body. That's the reason that he prayed, Father, give me the glory I had with you before the world was. Now, I particularly am interested in the question, How did he learn obedience by the things he suffered? These commentaries and commentators are dwelling on the suffering side. It's apparent that he suffered. But I think the emphasis is misplaced. He learned obedience. Now, one of the things said in this was that, Jesus wasn't any different when he came into world, as far as his nature, you might say. But he was. He took on himself the nature of a man, and in so doing, he had to learn something that deity doesn't do, and that's obey. Jesus had to learn obedience. Now, we'll study that Hebrews, the 5th chapter, I'm not trying to dominate the time, but you'll he's talking about the high priesthood. I think these men, I never do see any of them explain why he had to learn obedience. But he had to, in order to be a perfect representative, a perfect high priest. And this was explained in the first part of Hebrews 5. It pointed out the weakness of high priests under the old law. And then it said in verse 4, and no man taketh this honor that is the high priesthood to himself, but he that is called of God as was Aaron. Now what he's explaining here is how Jesus was accepted of God as our high priest. And that's found in this statement. Because God said to Jesus, you are my son today, have I begotten thee. The NIV foolishly translated that, today I become your father. Now the father-son relationship is from eternity. And I don't know why they did that, except on the basis of begotten means begetting in the term of birth. However, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but the day that God begat Jesus had nothing to do with his birth. Now all you had to do is read Acts 13:33, where Paul explained it as his resurrection. He said that I raised you up, and as it says in the second Psalm, this day have I begotten thee. Now, God resurrected Jesus, and God recognized him as a perfect representative of man, because he had learned obedience and lived as a man and so on. He said in verse 6, he said in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And of course, we don't need to go into that. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, talking about Jesus, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he buried. Now God heard Jesus, and he accepted him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. But the learning obedience was something he had to do when he became a man. He gave the law. The law is from the deity of God. But it was a learned attribute that deity does not possess. And, of course, in order to be the perfect high priest and to represent man, he did learn. Any prayer that law could be obeyed, man didn't have to disobey law. A lot of other things could be said. But you'll notice these commentaries, we know that he suffered, and we know that he learned obedience, but we had to remember that that was an attribute he did not possess before he became man. And so I just pass that along for what it's worth.
It was something that he actually habitually did.
Richard Bunner. You did a real good job. Maybe next time, if I've got a topic, you could just read my topic too.
Just let me know.
Okay. Jimmy's not here too, but I think just because John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb has nothing to do with whether or not Jesus had the Holy Spirit from his birth. I think that was the argument that was given, that if John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit, well then surely Jesus would have had the Holy Spirit. I think that takes away from the person of the Word or of Jesus, because if we speak of God being manifest in three personalities, then Jesus has all of the power of the Godhead without the Holy Spirit. Is that right? You agree with that, Jerry? Okay. Jesus is omniscient. He's omnipresent, and he's Emmanuel without the Holy Spirit. Just as the Father is omniscient and omnipresent. And so I don't think that there was enough evidence given that Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure or in any measure from his birth. And by the way, he does exercise omniscience as a man in John chapter 1, verses 47 and 48. He saw Nathanael when he was under the fig tree, and he wasn't there physically to see him.
I think you mentioned in here that he controlled it. It just wasn't a constant. He limited himself. But I think he admitted in here that he had it, but he just kept it under control and limited himself at times. I don't think he implied that he never used it.
Okay. Well, I don't know how we know when God limits himself and doesn't, because, various times the Word just reveals to us, it says Jesus knew their hearts when they would come to ask a question. Am I to assume that he didn't know their hearts at other times? I think he knew their hearts all the time. And so I think he exercised that ability.